Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
That Laffy Taffy, what? That song was in my head.
Candy girl.
We always start, well, you always start off with a song.
Miss that Chico sick. I miss that da-da-da. Oh, cause you so thick.
Yeah, that's a good one. You start off, I never know what song you're going to start off the show with.
So
it's always a surprise to me as well as the listeners.
Sometimes my spirit moves me. I got an idea for next week. I'm going to write it down so I don't forget because I already got the song for next week. But welcome back, y'all.
Welcome back. Season 3, episode 2.
Yes, lots to talk about on TV. How has your week been thus far?
Oh, it's been really good, peaceful, quaint. Like, I didn't have to travel. So just being in my house. Watching television, my favorite thing to do, uninterrupted. How about you? How's your week been?
It's literally the best. I did the same thing specifically yesterday. I just did nothing. Yeah. Like, I washed my ass, I brushed my teeth, and I put on pajamas all day, and I just watched television. I didn't do shit. I ordered food. It was the best day. Like,
oh my gosh.
Oh, life be life, fan. So anytime we could just sit down and just
Oh, that's the best. Like laying in your blanket. Oh.
Nice and cozy and just living life.
Oh my God. The best of times are had laying in your blanket, just watching television and being able to periodically scroll through your phone of unnecessary videos on TikTok or tweets that take you back down nostalgia land. I love it. That is just our playing games on your phone. Like me, it's just my favorite thing to do.
It's so underrated. Like sometimes just being alone with no responsibilities or just not feeding into just relaxing. I feel like everybody needs that time to like, just think about nothing. And yesterday I thought about nothing.
It's a form of self-care.
I
completely stand by it. It is a form of self-care. So on that note, since we've been watching so much TV and laid up in the bed, let's get into our weekly grab. All right.
Alrighty.
What do you have, bestie? What's first on your list?
So first on my list is one of those Netflix overseas shows. It's a British like TV show. It's a young adult series, but it was so good. It's called Everything Now. It's only 8 episodes. I'm praying everybody watches it because we know Netflix loves to cancel you before they give you a real good season 2, especially with these strikes. So a lot of your Netflix shows haven't come back or they're delayed. But it's basically about a young Black girl who is going through anorexia, and it gives you a very honest insight into like her POV from her family to her brother, to her parents, to her friends, kind of her trying to navigate around it in the ups and downs. It's like funny and it's heartwarming, but it's also real. And in every episode, it's like a disclaimer. If you need help, like, let me know. But it was the first show I watched in a long time where I had to finish all 8 episodes. Like, it was a work day, but I did not care. I think I stayed up to like 12:31 because I had to finish all 8. It was so good, but it's funny. It's heartwarming. It's sensitive. I'm so happy I'm not a kid right now. Best friend. Like, yeah. I'm so happy that I'm not 17 right now. Like,
for real.
I just feel like being a teenager now would be insane, but it's good. It's educational. Taught me how to like deal with people if they have those problems, but also like just a good fucking show. So if you need something to watch. Oh, it's emo, but it's really funny. There's this one part about throwing a party. I just want to send it to you. So it's like a funny ass rap. They're throwing her a party. They're like, no guns in the party. No guns in the party. It's just so
Where are they based? Where's the show?
It's like a British show. So the actors London. And everything, they're British. It's very diverse. And even all the dating, no one has a label. No one's straight. No one's gay. No one's bi. Like, there's so much freedom in the story where it's just about like love and feelings and being a teenager. So loved it. Cried, laughed. Thought I knew, and I love when I think I know what's going to happen and they surprise me. I was like, I did not see that coming.
Right. Yeah.
You need something good, heartfelt to watch. Definitely Everything Now on Netflix.
Everything Now on Netflix. Got it.
What's on yours?
It's what's on ours. Okay. Because we have to talk about what's first on my weekly grab is just what's first on every Real Housewives fan's mouth right now. The Real Housewives of New York reunion. It just aired. This is the first reunion of this new rebooted cast. And it just left me with a lot of different thoughts, right? After taking in this whole season, and now they're at the reunion. I got the sense that they are, you know, they're getting acclimated. This is their first reunion. They've never done this before. So I would say overall, it was stale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asleep. But one, you could tell who came to bring it was Uba, which a lot of people were saying it seems like she got pointers from her cousin, Chanel Iman. Chanel Ayan. And I definitely kind of got it wasn't making any sense how Uba was really kind of going in at Jenna Lyons, which is like, okay, but didn't Sai tell your business? That's what how the season ended. I thought there should be more energy towards Sai, but I'll give it until part two to see if that happens. From what I'm getting, it seems like everyone is kind of intimidated by Sai. And this is what's going to build up to actually making this show better, right? Because like I said before, when I put her as my piss poor last week, I still think she is a good villain. Like, she is easily good at being not likable. I think that is naturally her personality. Even just looking at all the backlash she's getting on like social media and how she responds, it shows like, okay, no, this is the mean girl. She's taking that role. And I don't even know if she's running with it. I think this is just who she is. And, you know, it's going to unravel itself more. So now you look at the other ladies with their dynamic with her. It's kind of like, the show ended with her yelling at all of y'all and storming out of so-and-so's party. Like, maybe between then they actually talked off screen. I don't know, but I'm still just getting like, y'all not bringing it to her. Y'all giving it to Aaron, who clearly has difficulty defending herself because she was just completely gagged the whole time. Couldn't speak, stuttering. But I'm seeing a buildup to actually Sai becoming this villain of this new rebooted series. And that's going to draw people in because you're going to want to, with a villain, you want to see them get taken down, right? You're hearing things, you're hearing alleged rumors about her marriage, the start of her marriage, how whatever he was her boss and he was married to someone else, something, I don't know. But if that is the case and more people start to dislike her, these things are going to surface onto the show. And that's where I think things are going to get good. Right now, we only saw Jessel be the only one with a real storyline. And so it caused her to now have enemies. So that's going to help carry the show. But when it comes to other people like the Ubas, the Brins, the Jennas, now it's like, where do you fit in? So that's where I think Uba was trying too hard at the reunion and just trying to comfort for Jenna. And Jenna's just like mad chill, like what? But overall, I don't really know if this is for Jenna. I said that last week. And then Brin, I don't know. I just kind of feel like the I'm dumb and I like penis act is going to get old really soon. So she has to do more. I mean, maybe she has to continue being like a pot stirrer, which that always helps.
Right. But
she's going to have to do something like give me more because it's like the little ditzy mistress act is going to get played out really fast, especially if you don't really have a love life that you're sharing on screen. And it's like all your jokes about sleeping with rich men and this and that. It's just like, it's just the act, girl. What are you really giving us?
100%. And I agree with exactly everything you said about it just being like, it just wasn't a lot of drama, but I also think it's their first season. So if you think about, because even though they, it's a reboot, it's like it's their first reunion. I definitely could see like their season two just being a lot more drama filled because one, they're going to do press about this. Mm-hmm. They're going to let time pass. People are going to stir the pot after they watch the reunion online. So I feel like season two is going to start with some like drama because nobody's really giving it to Sai. So I might, they might play certain things, they may watch it back. I agree. I think like over time, Brynn and Sai, they're just giving me like the new Carol and Bethany kind of sorta, where like they were really close and now they're about to like beef next season. Because mm-hmm. I feel like out of everybody who could give it to Sai, I feel like Brynn has it in her. She just hasn't unleashed it yet. I agree. Like, you need to do something else besides like try to sleep with everyone's man. I do think next season they're gonna, I feel they're gonna bring a friend of. I feel like they're gonna do something in this mix to like spice it up. But I would like to see all of them back. Like, I would love Uba and Jenna to like really beef. Like, I would love Uba to like curse Jenna out with you to be like, all right, so back to my
I want to see that. I definitely want to see everyone back. Even like, you know, like I said, with Jenna, I'm not sure, but I'm still willing to want to see her return. Mm-hmm. Just again, because this was still just too fresh. So I would want to see them all back together with now with more history, more understanding of each other's personalities and how each other work, and even just more understanding of how the show works. So I would be willing to bring everyone back. And like you said, add in a friend. But I see the potential. Overall, I see the potential. It was a little snooze, but we'll see if they pick it up next week. Because I think he's going to start asking Sai more questions, which is what needs to happen.
Do you see, like, let's like next season, all of this, like, coming out and being, like, one of the storylines, like, this whole husband thing?
I think so. Because they're all smart. They're all new. You want to continue this reality TV fame. You're paying attention to what people are saying online. And that's number one. Number one, what people are saying about this show is that Sai is extremely unlikable. And they're all wondering, like, oh, you want to talk about the husband? That's my new, I love like, Meredith Marks. Do you want to talk about the husband? Like, yeah. So
I love my new Greek, French, Italian friend. I don't know. Where does accent come from?
Oh, Meredith, right? I'm like, no. I love it though. I hands down, like, I just stand. I'm sorry. Cause it's like, what? You want to talk about the husband?
Like, I can go there.
And I just say it all the time now, but it's hard to spell on Twitter. But yeah. Husband? Yeah. So I definitely think somebody, and in that somebody, I definitely think it's probably going to be Brynn or Uba or both. Mm. And then they could drag in Aaron. Cause you see, Aaron is just a little pick me. When it comes to just whoever she's whatever, she's down to be talk to whoever, which I guess that's going to start to really work against her, but that's going to work. That's always going to work. Right. Cause if Aaron has no loyalty to no one and you're still just a listening ear when someone's talking mess, it's going to keep dragging you into it. And then she can't defend herself, but it's like, she still kind of entertains the drama. I think I see that building up to make for good, some good TV. Totally.
Yeah, she's always just going to be just so happen to be around. She's always just going to so happen to be in the shit. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like Uba said, like, yep, you around. You just be acting like you're not around, but we see you. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So we get overall, so far, I was a slow start for me, but I'm here for the new Roni. I'm here for it. And what's next on your weekly grab, best friend?
Okay, so this one's interesting because this show's been on for about 20 years. I just thought, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was on Paramount Plus. I was like, you know what? Let me watch Survivor. And I love Survivor. It's like Housewives meets The Challenge. Like, it's like drama, but like dead surviving. This season is three tribes. Well, it was three tribes of seven people. They're from all over the world. You have the people who've been watching since they were like teenagers, so they think they know the game. You have the old people trying to prove they still got it. One black guy was on it last year, but he caught a concussion, so he left in like not even the second day. But it's just like drama and seeing like the one black lesbian got backdoored, which means she had a whole plan going into voting that they was going to vote the white girl out. But the white girl told the black guy, he was like, guess what? She going to vote you out.
So they backdoored her and she went home. But the whole time the girl had like a get out of jail free card, like she didn't have to go home. My sister didn't use it. Oh. And my sister thought that they was not going to send her home and she could have stayed. But she didn't use it and her name was on it and her face dropped. Like she got sent home. Like she had not only are you going home, but you have like a little get out of jail free like pass that they give people in the game. So she could have stayed, but she just being confident, like I'm ruling this, I got this. Instead of extra protection, that girl was like, yep, y'all got me. Y'all played me good because I had no idea. But I just didn't think it's 35 seats. No, I'm not watching 35.
No, seasons. I'm not. I'm definitely the most.
Nope. It's like, and it's new people.
And I'm not going to lie. I thought you meant something else when you said backdoored. I was like, what happened?
Oh, no, no, no.
What is going on Survivor?
No. It means like it's a backdoor plan. Move. Yeah. Like everybody will say we want John to go home, but John will work with everybody and it'll be like Amy's plan and Amy will actually go home. So it's like a backdoor. Like okay. They have no idea that you like peekaboo, bitch.
Got it.
But so I just did not think Survivor was going to be so good. This most recent episode, the Mormon guy was crying and he wants to go home to his husband because he's happy to be gay. And they all were going to vote him out. But then it's just about to be drama next week because the way he did his vote, he did it purposely because I think he knew he was late. It's just, I just didn't think Survivor would be this good of a show.
I've been meaning to get into Survivor since I was like 12. So
listen, I think
I used to watch like bits it. Or listen to like, because, you know, Lenny's been watching Survivor since season one. So I remember like kind of growing up paying attention to a bit. But I've never really watched a season of Survivor.
I'm telling you, it's only 5 episodes in, but I was like, this is like the challenge.
When I get back on Paramount Plus, I'm still waiting to hear what's happening with Evil. If they don't tell me nothing about Evil, Paramount Plus ain't going to see me until the next season of Drag Race.
Period. But I'm canceling them now. I got them for the challenge and... Then I started watching Amazing Race. So I might get one more month, but then I'm going to cancel it.
Okay, so Tanea loves challenge reality shows. So
It's like I love competitions if it's a little drama.
It's good. Yeah, I love it. No, that's why it works. That's why I've been like, I'll try to check out all of them, but I know I've always like wanted to watch Survivor because I knew I would like it. You know, because it's like...
Oh my gosh, you would like it. So yes, that's my next one. What is next?
So my next and last one, because I have to take my time. And I know you said you started watching Love and Marriage Huntsville. I don't know how up to it you are and if you watched the most recent episode that came out on Saturday.
Not yet. I saw a clip of what Kiki did to Tisha.
Yes, very ridiculous. So we'll start with that. Basically, it's like you've seen the buildup with Kiki constantly like talking about Tisha behind her back to just her co-stars on the show, particularly Mel, where we all know Tisha and Mel have like a rocky history. They're not really the best of friends. They're just cordial with each other. So Kiki constantly going to Mel to talk about Tisha, her marriage, Marceau allegedly cheating. It's messy. And it's a big move of disloyalty because Tisha and Kiki are cousins. They are related. So it kind of starts off where, you know, Kiki's kind of just out of nowhere just talking about Tisha. Cause it's like, if somebody's sitting down to catch up with you, it's like, what you got going on? You talking about Tisha. It's like, then what you really got going on? You just really wanted to talk about your cousin. So by the time they all are together at this barbecue, Kimmy and Maurice are throwing a barbecue. When Kiki goes to say hi to Tisha, Tisha walks away, like Tisha shades her. So Kiki proceeds to sit at the table where they're all playing like spades and talk really loudly to Stormy, telling this business of Marceau allegedly having a threesome with they keep bleeping out the girl's name.
Wow.
But mind you, Tanea, Tisha, and Marceau are doing a really good job at just ignoring Kiki. They are paying her dust, and they're just trying to play this card game and ignore their cousin, who was over here really loudly saying this, their business, or allegations in front of everybody. Kiki's there with her husband too. So Tisha says something about the card game, and Tisha was talking really loud. So then like Kiki just got annoyed that she was being ignored. So that's when she goes like, get mad, get glad, scratch your ass, and then throw her drink.
She said, get what?
She said, get glad, get mad, scratch your ass, and throws her drink at Tisha, which was so low, so degrading. And Tisha still doesn't like retaliate. That's where Marceau was just like, oh, she got to go. She got to go. Y'all got to get her up out of here. And then like Kiki's husband kind of starts coming towards Marceau. That's how the episode ends. But ultimately, I just feel like regardless of whatever, I know we know Kiki's mad. She felt like Tisha and Maurice are the ones that surfaced the her. Clearly, she definitely has a problem with prescribed pills. If you saw the earlier episode in the season where she was talking about it with her husband is even kind of encouraging her to stop taking the medicine. And she's like, no, I don't think it's that. Girl, you got caught on Crime Stoppers stealing something from the local store and using your child in the process. It's like, there's a problem. Something's off. And then now we're seeing your weird obsession with your cousin and just wanting to kind of smear her name. And then throwing the drink, it's like, it's just given instability. It's given jealousy. It's given messy. You see Tisha's mother can't be on the show anymore because she was a hot mess. And now the cousin is throwing drinks. It's like Tisha's family is really, you know.
Did the mother get kicked off the show or she just can't come on anymore?
I don't think she got kicked off, but they probably put her on a little break for a while. Because remember, she was almost trying to fight Mel last season. And I can remember from like season one or two when Maurice like said a joke about Tisha's family that offended her, but he was like, you know, you from the other side of the track. And she got so offended. But I would just say, from as much as we have seen of Kiki's family on this show, of Tisha, well, this both of their family on the show, I don't think Maurice was, you know, he wasn't lying. Okay.
Yeah.
Like her family just a little rough with it. And they bringing that all on air and it's ratchet and it's a hot mess. But now let's get into,
oh my gosh. It's just, I think it's just a small town, but okay, I'm just like, get glad, get your ass and take out the trash.
Yeah. Yes. But now we have to nail, we got to get into Tisha. Okay. So this is how airheaded she is. And then she just be lying. And that's what will make you just not like her and not feel sorry for her. So Tisha basically started a hair care line with her daughter's names and hired a web developer and when she launched the website and you look at the store policy, it is the store policy for Canvas Beauty brand Stormy's business word for word, so much so that the email address wasn't even changed. It said for inquiries email beauty at Canvas Beauty. Yes, like copy and pasted word for word Stormy store policy on her website. And Tisha goes and blames it on her web developer, saying, oh, he did that. I guess she might have even hired the same web developer that did Stormy's website. But, you know, even coming from someone who's had multiple websites made, a web developer can't just put any store policy on your site. Like they have to get approval.
That's approval. You have to get approval.
And typically you're providing them with the verbiage. So, and this isn't the first time that Tisha has gotten accused of copying one of the ladies on the show. Like her one, she has some other embrace or something. It was like the same logo as Mel's beauty company. Same exact logo. MB. It was just like, yeah, it's giving weird. Stormy handled it well, but at the same time, it's just like, it's a joke because just last week, Marceau was talking mess about Mel having only a t-shirt business, but your wife is out here copying and pasting store policies, and they're dealing with allegations of gambling at their establishment, Black. So worry about your own stuff.
I just want to say real quickly about Melody. I understand you own a sweatshirt/t-shirt business. Please stop wearing them in every scene because that damn baby, she shower, everybody looked pretty and she had that damn sweatsuit on.
Yeah.
You are beautiful, Mel, but I know you have your own line. I do not need to see it in every scene. Okay, that's
it. Sometimes she does it, but yeah, she's been doing it a lot. And now you're seeing the Scots, like Marceau does it too, where he's wearing black shirt. Like he had on a pink and green one when him and Tisha are talking about the business issues and she's talking about the store policy copy paste, she starts crying because it's a lot, you know, it's just a lot coming down on her at once,
of course.
But Tanea, this is husband and wife, they are standing at opposite ends of the room. He never once goes to console her. This is what stood out to me. He never once goes to console his wife who was crying, And the tone of his voice and even like just the way they're talking, it's kind of like they're just like roommates, just buddies passing by, filling each other in. And then after she's like wiping tears off of her face and they finish shooting the scene, he just smacks her ass twice. No hug, nothing. Like she's still like, you know, I'm gonna be okay, wiping tears off of her face. And he just smacks her ass. And I'm just like, it's just like the actions are just speaking louder than words. And where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm not, I'm definitely saying Kiki is hating on her cousin. But at the same time, I'm not going to weed out and just say that she's lying as it relates to continued rumors of Marceau cheating. Because it's just like.
Yeah, he's an asshole. He just seems like.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah. And then so is his brother. I just also wanted to shout out his bald ass. Making an unnecessary joke about his wife who is recovering from cancer, and she had asked him that she wanted a Jeep, and he says, you know, she was asking when, you know, she was going through the treatment, and it was like, you know, you want a Jeep when you want your, she said she want her hair to blow in the wind, and he was like, but she ain't have no hair. He's like, but now that her hair's grown back, now I'll get her a Jeep. It was just, and then his, he said that unnecessary joke to segue into telling his brother, he starts complaining about the lack of sex they've been having. His wife, who is recovering from cancer. It's just like these Scotts, because they're early, like early in earlier seasons, you see their older brother, Marvin, makes a guest appearance because he was dating Mel's. It's a whole hot mess because you know it's a small town. He was dating Mel's mama, but the brother is even worse. I'm just saying all of them, the Scotts are just horrible. They are misogynist. They are chauvinist. They, all of the things, whatever other title, of just that macho, asshole, arrogant man who thinks, I do this and you do that, you're my wife, you're my woman.
Yeah, like that ownership, that very 1902 mindset. Yes. Like, that my woman there, and she gonna do whatever I say.
Yeah, and it's just so disheartening to see, especially when you have a wife that's just recovering from breast cancer. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? But he's gonna keep getting dragged. He was getting dragged for that last season. It's gonna, and he's gonna get it more this season too. So that's that with you know, so when you catch up, I basically just told you the whole episode, but it's still good.
It's still good. But it's nothing like seeing it real time. So yes. I can't wait to watch that.
Yes, because you gotta see Kiki say, get mad, scratch your ass, I don't care. Yeah. This is what's happening in Huntsville, Alabama. And I don't even know if Love and Marriage DC is going to return, because it's like, it's just, there's just no word on it. And the cast is like on Twitter saying they don't even know what's happening.
And I don't think Carlos knows. He is trying to be the YouTube's Oprah, as you can see.
No, but I need him to address that. You got actual viewers and fans of your franchise that you
agree.
And you need to address our concerns instead of addressing concerns of other shows that have nothing to do with you.
The fact that Kiki has not been on yet, but I haven't seen Every Housewife, is crazy. Because I would love to hear Kiki's point of view about her being on Crime Stoppers. That's something
you can't. And that could even, because even if at the same time, it's like you want to go mainstream because you know the Housewives guests are going to bring you more views. That's fine. Still have your cast as a guest. Like, just they could come on just for just a little 10 minutes. Talk about, have your questions ready to just relate to their storyline or whatever they got going on. And then, then you interview Kenya or whoever. Mix it up.
But you're not even giving your own people.
We out here asking questions and we're just like wondering, like, what happened to a whole entire franchise that just stopped mid-season, had a trailer like it was going to return. You filmed a reality show, I mean, a reunion show. And now there's just no word on it.
It's a reunion show, but he never poked, like, it never came on.
No, did all of that even before premiering Love and Marriage Detroit. So he introduced us to a whole new franchise. They had a reunion and we still ended with Love and Marriage DC. It ended in Christmas. There was a fight at the Christmas party. And we've all been wondering like, oh shit, what happened? Who's still friends? Do they confront Ashley? That's how it ended. And then it was like a mid-season break. So we thought it was going to come back and pick up where it left off. They filmed it and everything and filmed the reunion. And it's like, no word. The cast is on Twitter. Like, they don't even know when it's coming back.
Now, Carlos.
Right.
What is you doing, Mr. King? That's not good.
I saw him on Twitter the other day, like, we need to have a deep dive on, Monica on Salt Lake City. I'm like, really, sir? What is going on with Love and Marriage DC?
Right. No, and you can't just leave it. Like, even if it's a show that hasn't been as successful, you don't just leave it like that. Like, yeah. You can't not at least give it some type of ending. Like, you
gotta do something. I'm wondering if it's something coming down from OWN. I don't know, but it's like, it would help if he at least gave some kind of response to it, because he has time to talk about other shows. So, that's all, but yeah, girl. Let's get Wait, did you have anything else on your weekly grab?
Nope, that was it. We could deep dive it now.
Let's get into our piss pours.
Oh, okay.
Who you got on your list?
Okay, so my piss pour performance goes to Vanessa and her bangs on Basketball Wives LA.
Okay.
First of all, as a member of the Big Hair Committee, I understand how it can be very compromising to find things to do with your hair. Sis, I get it. Thumb bangs are not becoming of you, and I mean this with love. You need to thin them out. You need to cut them evenly. You need to maybe just do another hairstyle because it just looks very choppy. Secondly, it looks very choppy. Looks just like Stevie Wonder cut her hair. Like, it just does not look great. It doesn't look great. And I'm just trying to help you. Okay. I would not go on TV with a wig like that. And I think my best friend would be like, girl, change that hair now.
Yeah.
Anyway,
expeditiously.
But most importantly, mind your business. You are going on this, like, whether you love or Evelyn Lozada, I don't understand when newbies go on these shows and try to go for the person they think is bigger for no reason.
Right.
Just because, like, oh, this is who everybody likes. Oh, well, I want to be the fan. And you can always tell. It's like the Courtney with the candies. It's like the Vanessa's like, oh, Evelyn's coming back. I know her baby daddy's ex. Oh, let me create something. You look so stupid. Literally, the little boy is at the girl's house and Vanessa's sitting here mad at Evelyn for, of course, men are gonna always lie and not be honest about the time frame. So of course they're gonna say they broken up. That's not Evelyn's fault. That's what he said to her. Even like the girls in Orlando. Oh, I was with him. Men lie to y'all. Okay. They are lying. It's not these women's fault, but she is sitting there getting so mad at Evelyn. Looking dumb.
Wait, so what's the situation again? And it's not even her situation, right? It's like a friend.
10 years ago, when Evelyn first met her baby daddy, the baseball player, Carl was breaking up with his ex at the time. And I think she was either pregnant or just had a baby when he got with Evelyn. And he said there was no overlap. They've been talked about it. The little boy is 10 years old, Evelyn's son. So this is old. This is like 2010 this happened.
Right.
They talked about it. They got over it. They co-parent really well because they have kids around the same age. Like, it's old news. And she not with Carl either. So it's like old news. When Vanessa first meets Evelyn at Evelyn's party, that Brooke said, you know, she coming back to LA. Let's just throw her little shindig. Vanessa decides to be like, hey, Evelyn, I know Carl's baby mom and you are a home wrecker because you broke up a family. Evelyn was like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, what are you talking? It was just so random.
So random and unnecessary.
And Evelyn got in her. So then Shawnee came and tried to get everybody to sit down. And the girl's still trying to go big. Like, well, I'm going to defend my family and I could forgive it. And Evelyn said, well, I can't forgive you because, like, literally my son is at this woman's house now and she's embarrassed that you're even saying that. No, she's not. Yes, she is. So Evelyn goes crazy. But Brooke had to say, Vanessa, did this lady tell you that she was mad at Evelyn? She tell you to speak on behalf? Vanessa's like, no. All right, so shut up. Brooke was like, so shut up. Mind your business. Like, for you to come to this lady, you don't even, she's just a stupid. So I'm pissing all over you in them bangs.
I hate when they thirsty behinds come on a show just like doing the most for some camera time, looking stupid.
It's camera time. You know it's fake. You know it's just they want, and now she's doing interviews and trying to say, oh, I got this, I got that. And now her and OG are liking each other's stuff. That's just corny to me. Yeah. It's so corny to be relevant. Like, if it was a legitimate reason, I could understand. But I just don't hate on nobody just because y'all mad. Because Evelyn is who Evelyn is. Evelyn got that way not off of hate. She just became who she became. Sorry, y'all are not there yet.
On top of having that bang.
Oh my God. Please look at the bang.
I know which bang you talking about. I didn't forget that bang. Like, that's the thing I remember about that first episode is that I was like, why she got that haircut is Harvard.
The Harvard. Goddamn bang.
But anyways,
who is my
piss four? So on my piss four, we are going to take it to Love and Hip Hop Miami to Shay, formerly a Flavor of Love. She appeared on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta because she used to mess around with Scrappy. But she's been a staple on Love and Hip Hop Miami since season one. But I think we've seen her like date, but we ain't never really seen her with no one serious. And then she did have a baby last year. And so now she returned this season and she's introducing her baby daddy, who they've actually been off and on for like 10 years. Mm. And now they have a child and she's saying like, if he doesn't propose in 365 days, it's over. So you're seeing her baby daddy like come together with the family, but I was wondering. So at the season premiere of this new season of Miami, Shay was explaining a situation with a dog. She had a dog, but once Fabo, this is the baby daddy. Once Fabo came back into her life and then they had the baby, Fabo came and moved in with her, but he said, he don't like the dog. So she asked her mom to keep the dog. But it's been like a year now. And the mother's like, I don't want this dog. I never wanted the dog. Take the dog. I was wondering, I was like, why is they bringing up this dog? Like, if this is her storyline, like this needs to be your last season.
Right, right.
But come to find out, like the mom just lightly, like, so you see the whole exchange. The mom just comes up to Fabo at, I think it's like the daughter's birthday, something, a family function. And she's like, they're having like a cordial conversation. He's still acting like he's too cool for school. I wasn't really feeling his energy speaking to the mother of his spouse. But you see that more when she like playfully brings up, she's like, well, you know, what's going on with this dog? Cause you know, I didn't want ask to have this dog now. When y'all gonna take the dog? And he just goes off on her. Like, yo, don't bring up that dog to me. I don't give a fuck about that dog. Fuck that dog. Like talking to her like that. And so she's like, things kind of escalate, but it's like, she just walks away from him. And Shay's like, why are you talking to my mother like that? You see her saying like, at first Shay wasn't really understanding what the situation was. Cause also Shay and her mom have just gotten back on good terms. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like the mom and her are trying to build on their relationship. She's a grandmother now. Y'all got the daughter. The mom wants to be in her daughter's life and her granddaughter's life. You're seeing Fabo make that extremely difficult. And not only that, he's being so disrespectful to her mother. So then the brother gets involved because at the end of the day, that's his mother. You talking to her crazy. Fabo goes off on the brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like anytime he's around her family, it's like he has this resentment towards them. And it's like, bro, who are you? We literally just found out about you this season. And y'all got a baby. We'll respect the fact that you got a baby with her, but there ain't nothing about you that's making us feel like, you know, ride for you and forget her family. Like, and who would ever want somebody that they're supposed to be in love with to be at odds with their family? So Fabo and his veneers, you are
getting the Laffy Taffy song. Cause I don't know why I just thought of that Fabo.
Oh, right. Cause Fabo for L. Right. That's the only Fabo we know, by the way.
Listen.
Laffy Taffy.
And he's being so disrespectful on such a national,
platform,
like, ooh, watching him, how he talks to Shay's mother. I'm like, Shay, you better than me because you getting kicked out. You ain't talking to Gail. First of all, Gail going to punch you in your face. But right. You ain't talking to my mother like that.
No, like, that's insane. I just don't even understand why you would want to talk to anyone's mother like that, let alone. Unless they're being disrespectful to you, there's no way you should ever want to talk to an elder like that. Like, mm-hmm. Who raised you? Where are you raised? So he definitely gets my piss poor. I am not feeling him. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the season to see where they end up. I mean, I won't be surprised if they break up. I think they did. But I mean, they still got a daughter and they got a co-parent. But damn, to have to co-parent with a jerk? Ugh, poor thing. But anyway.
Piss all over him.
Okay. So now we done dragging people. Let's get into the people we are rooting for, our yes segment. Who are you rooting for, Bestie?
Well, I'm just always rooting for her, except for that one thing you did, but I just forgot. But I remembered you did a song with Todrick, who I hate, but I still love you. Tiffany New York Pollard. I just remember she did a song with him like 2 months ago. And I was like, why would you do that? It doesn't matter, Queen. I love you. I love seeing you on TV. I love seeing you on the College Hill BT Plus. I love seeing you on House of Villains. You're just great TV. I love that you are who you are and it's no longer about love. I love that you're protecting like your relationship. I know her fiance is a white man. That's all I know about him. Yeah. But I just love you on TV. You're funny. You're hilarious. I really can't wait to see you and Omarosa go at it on House of Villains, because that's going to feed my soul.
Yes.
But I just love New York. She just seems like such a dope person, and people don't really give her her reality TV show flowers, because that was the first person I remember being like famous off of just who they were as a real person on TV, and her crazy ass mama. So yes, Tiffany, I'm rooting for you.
Never forget her.
Sister Patterson was correct. Yes. I feel a demon. This man got a demon. Something wrong with this.
Yo, and New York is a sweetheart. I mean, honestly, I don't even want to get into House of Villains yet. We about to have a deep dive on that.
Yes, but that's my yes of the week. Who is yours?
I have two. My first one is just a quick shout out to Pavitt. Jessel's has been my new favorite travel influencer. It was such a great way to stick it to Aaron and Sai for all their little mean girl speculations about his trip to Vietnam. He went on the trip to Vietnam and turned it into a TikTok. And he took us through his trip to Vietnam. And he literally just went to enjoy the first class flight and have a day in Vietnam eating banhais, their little hero sandwiches. It was the most wholesome travel influencer video I've seen from an adult male.
It was so cute.
It was like, I like him. And for me to feel that way, everybody feels that way. Aaron and Sai, pat yourselves on the back because you just turned Pavitt into a travel influencer. Now I can see tons of people reaching out to invite him so he can give reviews, just very genuine, authentic reviews of the food, of the accommodations. Like, that's what you want from someone when they're giving you a travel recommendation.
I know. And
he has it. So he's number one on my yes list. First of all, overall, I'm rooting for Jessel and Pavitt. I don't care if they have awkward energy. I don't care.
Sometimes that's what you need, you know? Right. I'm rooting for him. When I saw that video, I was like, this exactly looks like the type of man who literally just wants to eat fucking food and you know how many points he got flying that far?
Exactly. And I mean, I'm not there yet, but I could imagine, like, you have a wife with two young kids. When does he really get a break?
Hello. And they twins and they like two and they look terrible. Right. Like, so terrible, like, in a great way.
Exactly,
like, but they
like, let him go do him. Jessel's out here going on girls trips now. Like, she's going to be going on every year as part of the show, let alone doing things now that she is a reality star. So if he's just doing things to get some his flight points up, I'm here for it. And it seemed very wholesome. I really don't get any vibes from Pavitt that he is stepping out on his marriage at all. Like, it seems like it's just not even a thought to him.
Absolutely not. That's why he's like, what are y'all even talking about? What? I just want to eat bonbons, whatever the hell.
Bonhais or Bonnie, whatever. They were really cute. I just love this. And he really took us inside, like, his trip. The accommodations on that first class flight looked amazing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to travel like that. I'm manifesting that in my life very, very soon. Yes. It's happening. And then second on my yes list. So remember last week I talked about The Other Black Girl on Hulu. If you haven't watched it, check it out. It's 10 episodes. I am assuming the way the show ended definitely can be room for a season two. I finally finished it over the weekend because I had time and I couldn't stop. I think I watched like all the last five episodes yesterday. It's so good. It really just pulled me in like that. One of those where it's like, no, I can't stop. The performances from the entire cast was amazing. So it's based on the book of the same name, The Other Black Girl, by Zakiya Delilah Harris. Shout out to sis. Okay. She also EP'd the show with Quincy Jones's daughter, Rashida Jones.
Love that.
Yeah. And so they cast, oh my gosh, the cast is just really good. So we have If you remember Scandal, did you watch Scandal, Bestie?
Yes, I did for the first five seasons.
Exactly. Yeah. The good ones. So remember the wife of Fitz, the president. So Bellamy Young.
Yes.
She's on the show. She's playing like the kind of bitchy, bossy, Devil Wears Prada boss of the main character. She's played by Sinclair Danielle, the main character. See, I'm thinking of Hazel because that's the other black girl, but the main character, damn it, what's her name? Whatever. Anyways, the main character, girl. So like I was saying, the way the show started off, it's you're seeing the other black girl. They hire another black girl. She gets introduced and it's kind of like backhanded shade where this new black employee is trying to sabotage the girl who's working under Bellamy Young. And I want to stop saying her, you know, I at least want to say her character name.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Nella. So Nella is the one that's working, you know, she's been working tirelessly. She's so dedicated to this job. And now the new girl's coming and it's like, you see Nella is like next up. She's very dedicated, but it's kind of like she's trying to sabotage her in a way. But as the story progresses, you find out the plot is even thicker than what you imagine. It is such a thriller. It's a mystery. As it really gets towards the end, it's like, you're like, oh, wait, I can't trust you. Oh, it was you. Phenomenal performance by everyone. Shout out to Miss Garcelle Beauvoir, who is
also Beauvoir.
Who's also still doing her thing on Housewives of Beverly Hills, but she crushes it with her role as Diana, the author of the book Burning Hearts, who it's Nella's idea to have a 20th anniversary edition of the book with like a new ending. And Tanea, when I say it's so many twists and turns, but all the underlying theme is still tackling the black woman struggle in corporate America while still having these ties of comedy and thrill and chiller and mystery and a whodunit type. It's still underlying, like it's all wrapped around, you know, having to wear the mask in order to make it and be successful in business. In America, it's kind of like you have to conform. And to me, that's the underlying message. It's like, you got to kind of sell out in a way to really make it. And so you're seeing how far are you willing to sell out? And what are the ways in which they're having us sell out? What products are they using to get us to forget our true selves and kind of fit into this mold of who they want us to be in order to become, you know, a VP or a lead editor at a major publishing firm. Such good show.
So relevant.
Very relevant.
It's definitely on my
list. You got Tanea, you definitely got to watch it. Like, you are going to be like very, very into it. Very, very much so. And it's quick. Like, each episode's only 30 minutes. That's how I was able to just binge it. Yeah, because if it was hour long episodes, I probably would still be finishing it up. So definitely check it out. Such a good show. Shout out to Zakiya Delilah Harris. Okay, because that is just I love a good show. Like you were saying earlier, you just love a good show with, you know, depth and meaning and kind of keeps you like guessing.
It's not a lot of shows like that. Like, just keep you on your toes, like real interesting, like they grab you and they get you. So I'm definitely gonna add this one because I need it.
All right, so let's get into our deep dive. So there's a new reality competition series on the market called House of Villains. It's on E! It's where they bring together 10 of the most villainous reality stars across franchises from the last 20 years, put them in one house where they are competing for $200,000 cash prize and the title of the ultimate super villain. Each week, one person wins and one person is going to go home. The person that wins gets to put up three people on the chopping block who the rest of the house can then vote and decide which one goes home. Similar to like The Challenge and Survivor. And it also even has alums from those shows. Johnny Bananas, Johnny Fairplay, Jax from Vanderpump Rules, Shake from Love is Blind, Corinne Olympios from The Bachelor, what's her name? Anfisa from 90 Day Fiancé. New York, who we were just talking about, Tiffany Pollard from Flavor of Love and her own show, I Love New York. And she's been on so many other shows. And you have Tanisha Thomas, Bad Girls Club. Bobby Lights, Love and Hip Hop Miami. And last but not least, of course, you have the Omarosa, who started on The Apprentice before going on to actually work for Donald Trump in the White House as his political aide. So I finally got to watch the first two episodes because I was delayed despite covering the junket and interviewing members of the cast.
And you were busy. You're busy.
I've been a busy, busy bee. And NBC Universal, they real particular with how you get access to watch. I'm still over here struggling trying to watch Housewives of Miami. I'm like, damn, they make you go through extra security just to watch the screener. So yeah, I had to wait till it came on television. So the show started. I watched the first two episodes. I was so entertained, literally laughing at my television, smiling at times. My mouth was open. I was just eating it up. As somebody who just loves reality television, is aware of everyone who's on the show, their history. Everyone who is on the show, you can clearly see they are made for reality television. Like, for the most part, they have a personality, or you can see how they were labeled a villain on their show because they all kind of have this, nobody trusts each other. There's all this underlying just villain
right.
behavior. But so many different personalities in the house. There's also just stuff going on outside of the challenge, outside of the nature of the show, that just make it for good television. So I have all these different things written down. But overall, what's your first take, your initial take on the show, Best Friend?
Well, one, I just love the mix up of everybody. Like, I just love how they did not leave any stone unturned. I never thought that like Bobby Lights and Johnny Bananas would be in the same room ever.
Right.
So I just really want to big up whoever did casting because they just casted a broad net. Like, and they could have bought like a Trina, but they bought a Bobby Lights. And there's just something about him in this dynamic, which is interesting. And then also to bring somebody like Shake. Somebody like Johnny Fairplay, who's older, Omarosa, who's no older than this Corinne girl. We don't watch The Bachelor, but apparently she was a lot. I have seen clips of Anfisa. Don't watch 90 Day Fiancé, but I know she was a gold digger screaming at the fat guy because he didn't get her a big ring. But first, I just love the casting, the randomness of it, how like there's not one person from, I don't even think the same network. Like, no. They just were I don't even think any of them on the same network. Like, I just love that diversity. So that was my first thought. And my second thought was, I like the premise of like villains and like, this is a show where you have to be backstabbing. Like you have what Johnny Fairplay did in episode 2. I was like, poor Jax.
Yes, we're seeing Jax. So you're actually seeing we've all thought Jax is a villain from watching Vanderpump Rules, but now you see him and out of his element around real villains, and you're actually seeing like Jax is a pushover. He's easy to take advantage of because he's just kind of taking everybody for what they're in and who they're showing him. And so he's like, oh yeah, you're my friend. You're cool. Like, no. You didn't know nothing about Johnny Fairplay. Johnny Fairplay sabotages Jax in the first challenge. You see Shake already start plotting on Jax when Jax is just being Jax and just bragging about his wife having a $2 million contract with Jenny.
Not even thinking twice.
This is just who Jax is. He's just super LA, super like braggadocious, unnecessarily. And it comes back to bite him in the ass. And then you see Shake and Jax get into it because Shake is like, I'm going to just call Jax out and say, when Shake got caught talking about Jax, it's hilarious. Shake was telling Bobby Lights.
Jax is literally like, right there, like, what you said?
Right. He's like, Shake is telling Bobby Lights, oh, he doesn't need the money. And Jax is like, yes, I do need the money. He's like, oh my God. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And then here comes Bobby. Well, I don't know who I'm about to take home yet, so.
And him waking up New York, like, I'm sick of this shit.
For no reason, a dramatic, unnecessary rant. But it was so funny because you got Bananas behind him just watching, like, a no.
Oh, my God. And I love, Bananas' whole, role in the house because he's flirting with all the cute girls. He's being who he is. I'm always rooting for Bananas to win. I want Bananas or New York to win. What did you think about Corinne Omarosa. Like, do you think Omarosa is always on like Game Time?
Yes, I think Omarosa came into the house ready on Game Time, and she knew to pick out the weakest link. And Corinne is a weak link. Like, I think it's just, you know, she's just like not kind of thinking that way. She was coming up to Omarosa being nice and was like, "Oh, what's your name?" Because she doesn't know who the hell Omarosa is.
And Omarosa
Google me, and it just offends Corinne, and she like, you know, it's like you gotta know how to play the game, so you gotta throw some shade back, like, oh, my Google doesn't go back that far, you know what I mean?
Hello, first of all, not go upstairs crying. Like, crazy person.
And so in my
Ryan,
I posted a clip today of my interview with Omarosa where she dragged the hell out of Bethany Frankel. She still had more to say about her, but it started the first question I was asking her was, there anyone that she bumped heads with in the house? And she talks about Corinne, and she said it was just amazing, you know, Omarosa, like, she says that Corinne comes with her victim tears, her white tears, and she said it was just amazing to see everybody come parade around her in the house. And so soon she was like, it's like she's weaponizing her white tears.
Ooh.
Yes. And so from there, that's when I asked her about my favorite all-time life moment is her exchange with Bethany Frankel 10 years ago when she appeared on Bethany Frankel's very short-lived, well, two-year-old talk show.
If y'all don't know what a read is, y'all gotta find that clip.
Go watch it. It's on YouTube. Just put Omarosa Bethany. It's gonna pop up. Even if you spell either of their names wrong, it'll pop up. Basically, Omarosa tells Bethany that she gets awarded for being mediocre and as a white woman, but as a Black woman, you have to work 10 times harder in order to get success. So I asked her about that. And I asked her if, you know, seeing the climate that we're in today, where now more people are saying Black Lives Matter, do you think that you were ahead of your time in saying something like that? And she did not hold back. She said, absolutely. She said, I mean, you know, you have these exceptional, talented, beautiful Black women who show up and do the work. And then you have Bethany, who is blah. She says she's not attractive. She says she's not smart. She can't articulate her words.
What?
Yet she gets awarded with a daytime talk show that I'm sure plenty Black women who like, that's basically what she said. You can go watch it. It's on my Instagram page. I put it on TikTok, on my Twitter, on my Facebook, and my LinkedIn.
And my LinkedIn.
The link is also, the link is in my bio on Instagram. It's on also on YouTube. Just put in House of Villains, Black Enterprise, or Omarosa, because she primarily was focused on the fact that she is attending her fourth HBCU. She is studying for her fourth degree. She's studying law at Southern University in Louisiana. And she wants to, you know, get back into advocacy work, politics, but she's really interested in being a entertainment lawyer also. And what I got from sitting down with Omarosa, like, she can issue out a read, but it's just, it's rooted.
It's so elegant. It's so elegant.
Yes, like,
you don't have to curse. You don't have to scream.
Right. Nope. It's an educated Black woman that stands in her truth, stands in her power, stands in her fierceness. And it's so intimidating to somebody who doesn't understand that. And that is why she's been labeled as a villain all these years, because it look how long it's taken people just to say Black Lives Matter, let alone acknowledging the voice of a strong Black woman who takes no mess, you know? So and Omarosa was like, I started, this is my 20th anniversary. I started The Apprentice 20 years ago. I was the first Black woman I was the only Black woman on primetime at that time. Like, yeah.
Listen, I'm a Russell Boy school you. And according to the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes. Yes. Like, that's just, and you got to just respect it. Like, I couldn't even, I became like such a fan. I was like, oh my gosh, I love you. Like, I want you to be my aunt. I want you to like talk to me all the time. Cause you're just like, I want to speak like that. I just want to cut a bitch down with my words like that.
Listen, and just think about her, like, her arc as a person, because 4 years ago, people was like, you're working where, with who, to do what?
Yes, and she's like, still stood in it. Like, oh, well.
Yep, I did it. She left. She knew what it was. Then, yeah, and she got out.
And spoke her truth afterwards, like, would say things about Trump and what she felt about the administration, but he gave her that opportunity, and she sure enough did take it. She's like, oh, yeah, uh-huh, White House me, please. Yeah.
Now that's on my resume.
Exactly.
Okay, it's on my resume.
Thank you, because on her title now, it's not just reality star, it is entrepreneur, former political aide to U.S. President Donald Trump. Like, that is quite the flex. It doesn't matter if it was Trump or not. You a former political aide of a U.S. president? Like, come on now. Nobody else on the show could say that. But you know who else I loved on the show? Carol Baskins.
Oh my God.
And then Tanisha getting her to flip her hair because she asked her how many inches she has. I died. Like, I said, this show is hilarious. You just can't make it up.
Tanisha. I just love seeing her back on TV. I do not like her on this baddies thing. I hope she never does anything with Natalie ever again. Yeah.
She's done with reality television. She told me that.
Oh, so like this is
in
it.
My interview. Yeah, she said she wants to open businesses and host and be with her son.
Yeah, I could see that even being a show. Like her just, you know, doing
Yes, I would love to see that. Yes.
She's so beautiful. I love her on the show. And I also just want to say that I love me some Johnny Bananas. I'm like the number one person in his fan club. Johnny, I love you. I'm going to post this and tag you. Like, you're just the man. I want you to win everything. You just seem like such a good person. Yeah. I'm always rooting for you no matter what you do, Johnny Bananas, okay? I'm going to go buy a t-shirt.
When you go up to him, especially if you're a pretty girl, he will give you a hug and a kiss on the cheek. He is very old school. Like,
I love
it. He does not care. Don't try to say, oh, this is inappropriate. Like, he's just a gentleman, like, and very charismatic and charming. You know, it's like, you can't help but just, like, love Bananas. Like, I totally
He embraces who he is. And I love that about him. He's like, look, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to do this bachelor thing until I find a good, like, wife. Like, I love his route. And, like, and he's branching out. He's also going to be on Traitor. So I can't wait till that comes back. I don't know if you saw the cast for season 2. He's going to be on it. CT's going to be on it.
Oh, they got the trailer?
The trailer. They just announced the cast.
CT?
Yes, just a real quick, like, season 2 Traitors. They're gonna have
this is gonna be good.
It's gonna be good. They're gonna have some people from Love Island that we don't know. Oh, they're gonna have Larsa
Tippin.
Yep.
Oh God, no.
They're gonna have CT. They're gonna have Larsa.
She gets to help her.
Donnie. Oh my gosh, yes. They're gonna have they're going to have her boyfriend, Marcus Jordan, on the show too.
What? They're going to be on the show together?
Yes.
Oh, man. No. That's so dumb. Everybody's going to vote them out. Like, what do you mean? Everybody's going to work to get them out the show.
But, oh, they're going to have Peppermint from Drag Race.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
They're going to have Tamra. They're going to have Trishelle from The Challenge. So.
Aw, that sounds like fun. I'm here for it. I am here for it.
Okay. Who do you want to win House of Villains?
Definitely. I'm rooting for Omarosa. She's the queen. She's the OG probably on the show. Her and Johnny Fairplay. But I can see how she's playing the game and I respect it. If not her, I also like Bananas, of course. I love Bananas. And Artanisha.
I was going to say, those are my four. Omarosa, Tiffany, Tanisha, Bananas, my top four. Everybody else, you could go. But I want them to make it the furthest.
All right. So let's get to our closing out of the show with some positivity. What positive quote do you have, best friend?
Yes, ma'am. My quote for today is, welcome change rather than trying to control it. And I got that quote from my CoStar app.
Yes. Shout out to CoStar.
Okay. Because you have to welcome new things in your life and you cannot control everything. You have to say, God, don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. What's yours?
Oh, I finally found out my rising, my
moon. Chart? Yes. What's your chart? Your sun, moon, rising.
I'm a Libra moon.
Not us having the same moon sign. That's why we're best friends.
Oh, really?
I'm a Libra moon too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, well, we see why we work together. So my positive quote, it's kind of like a list of like how to become more powerful. Talk less, be calm, observe, make eye contact, think before you speak, value your time, master body language, show respect, and move in silence.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really, really, really good one.
And on that note, our closing slogan is
love, abundance, and hair bundles, people.
Tell Vanessa that on Basketball Wives LA.
Yes, and tell her to get a new hairstylist in LA. Girl, give her your girl.
Yes, I will hook her up with Jazz because Jazz will never let her walk out with that bae.
Girl.
All right, y'all. Guys. Good week, y'all.
Bye.